It's Monday night's Big Footy Tiger Cast. We're back for another show. First spin for the season. And it's good to be talking about some positivity for once. But with positivity does also come some negative vibes, which we will get to shortly. But CB, how are you, mate? What's going on? Welcome.
Mate, just still basking in the glow of a magnificent performance by the Tigers yesterday. So, yeah, terrific.
And EJ, welcome to you, mate. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, going really well. I'll be the first to put my hand up and say I didn't think we could do it, but I'm sitting here very happy that we did.
I think as a collective show, we almost owe an apology. What have I done, CB? Have I done something?
CB knows. He knows.
Okay.
That's why he didn't go to the ground on the weekend, Michaels. He thought, that's it, we can't win. He had tickets. He didn't go. He was sending a message saying, I'm so glad I stayed at home. And then the game happened.
Oh, just sent you a text.
Tell me I'm wrong, CB.
No, once I saw Dusty was out, I thought, we're absolutely cooked.
Well, look, I mean, to be fair, all of us on the show last week, no one tipped Richmond, and we certainly said Sydney were going to belt us. And I think for all intents and purposes, our comments were valid at that point in time, given how we were playing and how they were playing. So always nice to be proven wrong, though, in those instances.
It was, let's be serious, mate. It was, I think I know I told Edge or you, like, anything under 10 goals was going to be, like, with the team we've named, you know, you think, what, 10 blokes, 15 under games experience against what was touted as the best team in the competition, just made the win all the more remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, look, Sydney are obviously a little bit off, but you've got to take your chances when another team is not performing at their peak, and we did that. Our pressure was outstanding all match. It's back to where it was. I know that there was I was getting messages that it was north of 220 at some point, so we kept the heat, and it paid off.
Yeah.
It was quite extraordinary. Yeah, I think to JW's point that no one in their right mind would have tipped us. But, you know, here we are. It was a stirring win. And the third quarter for me, I'll go through the scoreline first. Richmond defeated Sydney 11-16-82 to 11-11-77 by 5 points. Lynch with 3, Lafau 2, Bolton 2, Baker 2, Taranto and Mansell with 1 each. I think I speak on behalf of all Richmond supporters when I say that watching that last 2 minutes, it felt like I had heartbreak written all over it, that they're going to just jag a cheeky Joe the Goose. And I'm like, it's going to be Papley. He's done fuck all game. Yeah. He's going to bob up and kick a jammy winner, and it's going to hurt. But thankfully that didn't happen. But for me, I think what set the tone, CB, was that third quarter. Our pressure rating was 233, which was literally, quite literally, off the chart, yeah. Which is numbers that we haven't really seen since, you know, 2017, 2018. And I don't think a lot of clubs could replicate that kind of number. But I suppose it was always a matter of where we're going to be able to sustain it. But, gee, it was good to see that pressure come back.
It raises a question that we could probably get into before we do a little breakdown. It was a discussion point last week. So the pressure rating was off the charts because we did have a lot of youth and a lot of speed in that team, which meant we were able to push our numbers back. We were able to shut down the corridor, which Sydney were trying to get, you know, the amount of time Sydney were trying to go through that middle to run and gun us. So it really raises, we're an interesting crossroads already now when you look at team selection for the next period of time. That would have been excluding Bolter and Lynch. But when you look at Grimes, Prestia, Graham, should they be automatic inclusions into this team now when you've seen what the young kids are going to have ups and downs, but you saw the benefits of fresh, young, fast legs in that team. Like, defensively, I don't think we missed Dylan Grimes, and I'm sorry, Dylan's a legend of the club, always will be. But, you know, you look at that, you look at that back along the weekend and how hard it worked with the help of the wingers pushing back in defense. I mean, interesting times ahead when Hopper becomes fit again, Prestia, all those guys, I think.
Yeah, I think I get 100% what you're saying, and in most cases, I agree with you. I think specifically with down back, we've seen what Brown, he looks comfortable very early on, right? And if you play Brown for 10 games and Grimes for 10 games, you might get a better performance out of Grimes for the first 10 games by some small margin. But for those last 8 or 9 games of the season, I think the time and effort we put into Brown now will pay dividends long term. And I think the injuries that have occurred, that have been released today by the club, accelerate the fact that, it's a really good opportunity to put some time into the kids. I think Graham comes straight back in. He's young enough to still be involved, you know, in 5 years' time or whatever. But with Prestia and Grimes, you know, absolutely, I think if they come back in at all, they've got to come back in by doing a bit of time. And how much could they help the VFL program out by spending a couple of games back there and imparting their knowledge?
Well, I think that's the flip side of it too. I think if you had a couple of those senior guys back, just getting match fit again, what could a guy like Dion Prestia in the reserves, while he's trying to get match fitness to get back in that senior lineup, what could he teach him, McAuliffe, et cetera? Even Dylan Grimes, that defensive unit. So it's an injury. Like I said, I'm not crapping on the guys when I say it. I'm just saying when you look at what we produce in the weekend with the kids who are young and hungry, there's risks and rewards with that.
Yeah, there's a fine balance too. You can't have too many kids because you have to, because they've got enthusiasm, but they don't have tank. And it's the last quarter in games where you're going to get burnt a little bit. And we also know that there's going to be ups and downs in performance with young kids for that first 50 games. But you have to play them. We see now with, you know, your mid-tier players like Ross and that, that what consistent football does to them. We see Dow on the weekend played really well. We backed him in, gave him another chance, you know. So, yeah, I'm quite philosophical. The injuries today have killed the mood a fair bit.
Yeah.
But it also makes the season very exciting. We're going to watch some amazing development this year. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Glenn, I don't think it's that insane of a thought. You've seen what's happened time and time again when we've put Prestia back in and he's tried to build up match fitness. He keeps breaking down. We can't afford that. We can't afford to be a player down quarter one of any game. And if we've got people who can provide coverage, I think you've got to try and build up that fitness, show that the hamstrings are sticking together for a prolonged period before coming back into the AFL. Unfortunately, at his age and with the reoccurrence of injury, it might just be what he has to do because you can't risk losing players so frequently early on in games.
Then you haven't got him in your rundown, but you saw this week, like there was a lot of heat on Thompson Dow after the Port game. This is why I was keen to give him another go to see if he could bounce back. And that's what the kids do. And Thompson Dow had a very, very good game against a very, very good midfield on the weekend. I thought he was terrific.
So some players had some pretty good games. Maurice Rioli Jr., who I've been backing in. Now, I want to take umbrage to someone on Twitter who tried to call me out because I was disappointed that he missed a clutch shot at goal that we had serious momentum with. Like, I had about 40 positive tweets about everything else, and he picked that one out. But I've been in Maurice Rioli's corner for quite some time now, defending him that his pressure game is kind of, I dare use this word, the barometer for us. But I thought he and Mansell worked very, very well together. Not only their hunts for the ball when it was loose, but their hunts for the man with the ball and even just pushing over to that next player. So when they switched the kick out, they were kind of able to man the mark quick enough that they couldn't play on quickly, which holds them up, which gives us time to set up down the ground. I think that actual part of the game is undervalued by a lot of people, being able to man the mark quickly on a switch of player, and they did it really, really well. The other thing that I noticed massively with Maurice Jr. is he actually took on a couple of really dangerous kicks. Like he usually plays it fairly safe, but he was taking those 45-degree kicks into the middle. I think he had 3 cracks at it. He missed one. I'm okay if they try and take that high-risk kick and it doesn't come off because it's showing good intent. But he nailed 2 of them and opened up the entire ground and we went on to score. So some really good signs from Maurice Jr. And I think Mansell, well, for both of them, it was easily their best games for the club, I think.
Yep, I said that today to CB that that was MJ's best game. And Mansell, he's a little junkyard dog. I think he's going to end up sort of, for us, being a more skilled version of a Castagna. He is an absolute junkyard dog. He loves a contest. And, yeah, he's got to clean things up a little bit, but his pressure's off the charts. He was fantastic.
Mansell's never going to be an A-grade footballer.
No.
But not everyone in that 23 that takes a field every week is going to be an A-grade footballer. But by geez, I tell you what, he's probably got the biggest set of balls in the whole team though as well. Like he, by geez, he competes and you need those blokes. He goes where angels fear to tread. And Aish found it out, you know, even though he got suspended for three games last year, Aish found out this guy does not shirk a contest. He's magnificent.
I tell you who might be an A-grader though, in time.
Seth Campbell.
I was talking to someone earlier today. It was his third game of AFL, right? He was, apart from the fact that, as I've said in previous iterations, you know, his positioning's elite and all that sort of stuff, and he makes the right decisions early, he's very composed. He clocked up the third most K's for the game for us. Imagine when he gets a tank. Yeah, he did.
Wow.
Taranto was obviously number one, but he was number three for us for K's covered, I think, behind Taranto and McIntosh. So, I'm really going to enjoy watching this. And I'm claiming he's my boy. He's mine.
You've dropped Kapow. You've dropped Kapow already.
I've got many boys, but he's going to be really fun to watch.
So, again, we had this EJ and I had this discussion today on Seth Campbell, and someone mentioned Kane Lambert before, but we think Seth Campbell has the ability to be a faster version of Kane Lambert long term. Now, this kid at ground level is clean. He clearly, like that one hand pick up in the last quarter, like this kid's got some serious skills. However, the debate is, I think he could become a very good midfielder, but I think we need to let him go this year on the flanks and let him learn his craft and get the hang of it. But I think long term, this kid could definitely play midfield for the Richmond Footy Club. I think he's got some serious smarts about him.
Just a genuine diamond in the rough. Like that, it could be one of our best picks for quite some time if he keeps tracking the way he is. Miller and Young, I thought, held their own down back reasonably well. I think Young maybe got caught once with the ball, but you know, he typically will play within his limitations, and I thought the back line did a super job again this week, given we're probably a little bit undermanned.
We only conceded, what, sub 70 points?
Yeah, 77. They scored 77.
That's a bit harsh. I'll tell you what, though. Young Brown, who I want to see him stay in, he doesn't mind biting off a bit when he takes a kick, does he?
That's good. I mean, yeah,
that's good. Yep.
Because then if you've got Short, Rioli and Brown, and Vlossen's not afraid to have a dip either, but a few more who are okay to try and take on a more difficult kick, if it comes off, it just adds another weapon.
If we're gonna talk players, you've got to give Vlossen some big ups. That was just insane.
Best on ground by a country mile.
By miles. And Taranto will probably get three on Brownlow night, but Vlossen was huge. 13 marks, 15 intercepts, 577 metres gained, 3 inside 50s, 7 score involvements, 13 pressure acts. That's all fantastic. 29 disposals, 23 by foot, at 100% efficiency. It's just nuts. He was immense.
That's scary numbers.
He's no Tom Stewart.
Darcy Byrne-Jones.
Tom Stewart's a very, very good player. That's probably a bit unfair, but yeah, let's whack Darcy Byrne-Jones.
Oh, listen to you, you sick man. You make me sick. Just get into someone. Just get into someone for once, will you?
Yeah, Nathan, this is kind of what we're sneakily alluding to. The fact Vlossen hasn't got an All-Australian blazer was beyond me. He's been doing it for years. Agree. He was monumental. There was a few times when Sydney got on fast breaks in the last quarter, and I thought they were out the back. I thought they were away, and then all of a sudden Vlossen pops up, intercept mark, back we go the other way. I don't know whether he's going to be able to get that much leeway going forward. Like, teams are going to smarten up to that for sure. They're not going to let him just sit back and do that again. But no, he was super good. It was, yeah.
And how good was it? And how good was it to get a totally undeserved free kick in the last 2 minutes?
Yeah, it was a bit of a soft one.
Oh, there was nothing there at all.
But they missed about four holding the balls from 35 metres out at our goal in the same quarter. So
I think it was a really well umpired game.
We don't need to talk about the umpires. We for once, for the first show in about 4 years, we probably don't have to talk about umpires.
No, but it was funny that he got asked the question. It was very funny. His answer was pretty blunt and straightforward too. That he pretty much said the same thing we've all been saying. Well, we hardly get him. But it was good, very, very good to hold on. And we won the free kick count by one, which none of us tipped either. Another player who I think we've all agreed that he's going to develop better in the AFL than VFL is Sonzi. I know he didn't have massive, massive numbers, but my favourite moment from his game was when the heat was on. I'm not sure if it was late in the third or early in the last quarter, but he was one on two at the top of the 50-metre line with a quick kick that was going his way. And he was well outsized, but he was able to fight hard enough to bring the ball to ground, dove on it, hit it out, and broke even, and we got a stoppage or a shot at goal, something like that. But the fact that he was able to fight that fiercely, being that outsized, was a really, really good sign, and I seriously think that he's going to develop far better playing senior football than at VFL.
Must stay in the ones. Must.
Yep, hard agree.
Who else we got here? Bolton? Bolton had, I think, one of his best games for the year as well. Ironically, though, he seems to play his best football when Dusty's not playing. And I don't know whether this is because he's at more centre bounces, whether he feels, I don't know, more obligation to step up and be the man. I'm not too sure what it is that makes it happen. But every time Dusty's not playing, Bolton has a ripper game. And even the fact he kicked the clutch goal around his body, you know, to keep momentum going for us was really, really good. So shout out to Bolton, because I know, you know, we have questioned, I suppose, his lack of consistency in games, which has been prevalent, but the game against the Swans, he was very good.
And I'll retract what I might have said about him at the start of the last quarter when he bit off a little more than he could chew and that ball got smothered and went down and cost us a goal.
That was seriously unlucky.
I retract my emotional remarks at that stage of the game.
I did. Our other man, LaFau, 2 goals. Hand on heart, I was a little bit surprised he was picked for that game, not through any fault of his own, but really, really like pumped for him that he played. And his first goal was a ripper, the old banana from the boundary. I thought he showed some good signs, and I dare say that if he's not sore or injured, he's probably going to play a fairly key role for us in the, you know, the coming 8 to 10 weeks.
He shouldn't have had to do a bloody banana from the boundary.
I know. I thought he actually socketed it off the ground. Or he was in the goal square anyway.
No, he was on the edge, so I could see it being a 45, but he wasn't hard up against the boundary. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyway,
and the other roost from outside 50, beautiful kick.
Good kick.
Like he's gonna miss.
Very good kick.
He competed a lot better this week. I think last week, obviously he didn't have the greatest game, but being a sub, then not being a sub, and then the stuff in the change rooms and that, it was all a bit, maybe a bit much, but he was just a good, even contributor. And yes, he will get more time now that our 37th key position player has gone down.
He's going to take time to grow into his skin a bit, isn't he, LaFau? Like, he's...
Yeah.
He's so raw. Like, he got his raw. But he's competing. Hit the scoreboard. What more can you ask, eh?
And, you know, all of these games are massive learning experiences for him as well. So he's only going to be better for it. But he's just, I suppose, now being thrust into the heat of it with not much support around him in ways of experienced players. So we'll see how he goes. The last one I want to ask about is not on the list, which seems to have divided a lot of people, was Marlon Pickett's game. Look, there's no denying that we've had mixed opinions. I've probably been backing him in to play on the wing until someone can replace him. I don't think anyone can just yet, but I thought he was, again, good when the whips were cracking, with some key disposals, a good chase down tackle as well. In a time where tackling for us hasn't been our strong suit, it was nice to see him stick a good one.
I was Well, I've been critical of Marlon for the first, you know, three games. And he played fantastic. So I'm so glad he made me eat some humble pie. And I really hope he backs him. And even Camden McIntosh has copped a lot of heat this week. He's the whipping boy this week. But the work those two boys did, McIntosh and Marlon, defensively, getting back and helping the backs and then pushing forward, like, they were critical to our success on the weekend. Anyone thinking that McIntosh or Marlon's getting dropped this weekend, forget it. They'll be lining up in the 23 for sure. So,
we've already got three changes from last week with injuries and suspension. So correct. I don't think anyone else is going to be getting dropped.
Correct.
Sarge wants to know, what do we think of Jack Ross's game in the guts? I think Ross has had a good season so far. It's felt seamless. Like, you haven't gone, oh shit, you know, there's Jack Ross. What's he going to do? He seems to always make the right decision with ball in hand now, which is really, really good.
Yeah, well, he's still Hopper. Oh, so you go.
Look, Ross is never going to be a superstar. He's going to be a good, solid C-plus, B-grade player. He's going to play a bunch of games, and he's going to do a role for us every single week. If we can just keep the expectations at that sort of level, he's fine. He's going really well. He's going really well this year. Like you said before, CB, not everyone has to be an A-grader.
Well, keep in mind, before Hopper was our best midfielder until he got injured, you'd probably argue that Jack Ross has been our most consistent midfielder this season now that Hopper's out. He's had four really good games.
Oh, yeah, okay, over the whole season, yeah. Probably Timmy Boy was pretty decent.
But Ross has been consistent for four games. He's been very consistent with his output.
Yep.
Now, I think a few people have obviously noticed that we've had a slight change in play style, so I want to see what you guys... I know Grok raised this one in our PM, but he obviously can't make it with his internet being out.
Corey kicks his $9,000 computer, did he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. what have been some of the main things you've noticed in terms of the game style change for us? I think the main things he wanted to point out, if you want to expand on them, were that we took a lot more of those 45 degree kicks into the corridor, which we haven't typically done. We won the marks. We took 110 marks for the game, which is something that we very, very rarely do. So it maybe almost showed a bit of a plan B and a want to maintain possession.
I think what we saw again on Sunday as well was a bit of tempo footy. So all of a sudden we were prepared to control the ball and slow things down a little bit. And again, it was good coaching, good game day coaching. We were able to stop Sydney, as much as we were looking to go inside as well, we were able to stop Sydney using the corridor as much as they wanted to as well. So the defensive aspect of the work rate was fantastic. But then, yeah, you're right. We did a couple of really nice switches, a couple of used right across the ground to open up the fat side of the ground as well. So there's some really good ball movement, I would say.
Yeah, and I mean, far be it from me to use lazy tropes that other people in the media have used over the last 7 or 8 years, but we're playing with a bit more control and a little bit less chaos.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just finding that balance, isn't it?
Yeah. And I tell you what, I actually said at halftime yesterday to my son, because, you know, still not confident that we were going to be in the game or whatever, I said, no matter what happens, this has been a really good game to watch. I really like the style in which we're playing. So it's attractive as well.
Yeah.
Not that that's important. Winning's more important, but...
Yeah. I know what you mean, though. And finally, to round it out, obviously, Uze's first win as coach, which is a super effort. But, Keggs, this was another good point that I had mentioned as well earlier on before we come on air, that 10 players under 50 games, and I think Nick had mentioned to me on the phone today that across about 10 of them, they might have averaged 16 games or less. So the amount of youth we had out there, and oddly enough, in recent times, we got slapped a little bit for our lack of talent from the younger brigade, and then all of a sudden we're top four in the VFL, and we're winning games with the youth in the seniors who have replaced, who had to, you know, come out of the second. So it seems to be flowing down quite nicely, and the young kids seem to be doing a really good job. And those close games are worth almost 10 games of experience, aren't they, in some ways?
Yep. Yep. Yep.
All right, so there were some negatives to come out of the game, which, you know, we didn't even get to celebrate for 24 hours before we were all just flat as a tack this afternoon. And I'm sure a lot of us were hoping this was an April Fool's Day joke, but unfortunately it wasn't. With Tom Lynch, torn hamstring tendon. So the muscle itself was actually okay. So the rehab work and the stuff he'd done there was fine. But apparently the push or the shove he got and the motion in which it, you know, propelled his leg and he landed or whatever, tore the tendon, which is going to need surgery. So we're looking at, I mean, it says 8 weeks, but I'm going to say that's 12 to 14, if I'm being honest. And Noah Bolter, an MCL, out for 5 to 6 weeks, which happened very late in the game too, which is shit news. If there was two players, gents, that you wouldn't have wanted to have missed games anytime soon, structurally, I'm tipping it was those two.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I was speaking to my D's mate tonight before I came on, and I said, you know, that's Gibkiss, Bolter and Lynch down. Imagine if we took Lever, May and Petty out of your side. You know, like, it's from a structure point of view, it just kills us. But, you know, we're gonna see now some Kaczynski, some Ryan, some LaFau. So we've just got to make the best of a bad situation. And as I said, it probably accelerates what time we're going to put with the kids.
Anything to add to that one, CB, with the injuries?
Nah, flat as a pancake, mate. Just, yeah, it was
pretty just, shit.
It really, I was pretty savage mid-afternoon when I read it. There's nothing more you can say. It's just terrible, terrible luck.
We'll get to the change a lot at the moment. Yeah, exactly right. We'll get to the changes later that, you know, to try and replace those two. But look, it does create opportunity, although there's a balance between having opportunity and having a bucket load of kids out there with no experienced support around them throwing them to the wolves, because that can actually be counterproductive. But in this instance, we don't really have a choice. So we'll have to just make do with what we've got. And the other one was Baker obviously copped a week for that bump on Malikan. I'm probably with EJ a little bit. I kind of thought he was going to get two, maybe even to three, just based on how hard the AFL are cracking down on head knocks. I don't think he was trying to spoil that ball. That arm movement at the end, I believe he was trying to actually, I don't want to say hit him in the head, but I reckon he was trying to forcefully hit him in the chest. At minimum, I don't think he was trying to spoil the ball. I'm taking rose-coloured glasses off of that one.
100%.
So I think take the one week, but then upon reading the grading of how the AFL graded it, I think we can now actually argue it down to potentially to low impact, because Malik can get playing like straight away. Well, so the way it was graded actually helped us.
Yeah.
I think you should have got a fine.
Oh.
What I will say is the Essendon Nuffies trying to compare that to Peter Wright are just complete lunatics. It was not the same as Peter Wright. I know you're a bit butthurt about him getting 4 weeks, but that wasn't the same action. The intent was maybe marginally similar, but the outcome, which is the weighted weeks that go on top of it, were not there because Malikan got up straight away.
Put a Collingwood jumper on him, mate, and he doesn't get suspended like Maynard.
Oh, I mean, mate, you've got Pendlebury. The rules are different. Don't be a Nuffy.
And I'm on record as saying I'm fine with the Maynard one because he was competing for the ball and it was incidental contact in a footy act. And that's
okay. Ended his career.
Brayshaw changed direction. If Brayshaw doesn't change direction, he doesn't get hit in the head. He changed direction after he kicked. Well, Maynard was in the air. Like, anyway.
Agree to disagree, gentlemen. I bid you fair day.
I think Ralphie has hinted at that we are going to look to appeal. I think based on how they've graded it, and the fact that Malikan kept playing, I think it's a smart decision to try and get it downgraded to a fine, because we honestly can't really handle many more players being out, to be honest.
Well, so, you know, you have a chance Robbo on 360 reckons we should appeal on the grading, apparently, according to Struggletown there in the comments. Just on a couple of people were mentioned in the comments, I've noticed, and we got to give some props here to Adam Uzay. He's proving he's a really good match day coach. He's been flexible. He's made changes in numerous games. You know, Sydney got a run on a couple of times there. I'm not I think I said to CB early on, I said to CB early on, I wasn't 100% convinced on Uze because he didn't give me confidence when he speaks. I think he's relaxed as well after a couple of weeks and he sounds really natural now and I can see it, but he's a good match day coach. I think we're pretty lucky. We've got the right one. The board got it right again.
Well, the reality is reserves haven't dropped a game and we were a couple of minutes away from being 2-2 if we had been able to get up against Carlton. So with all the injuries and all the adversity we faced. So clearly he's got engagement from the players and clearly something's working at the club.
I think in the same breath, a shout out to Steve Morris as well for the job he's doing with the VFL boys to, given that he's losing players at a rapid rate of knots because the senior guys are going down, I think he's doing a fantastic job too. So if it's filtering down, and as a few people mentioned in chat, it's the fact that he's got a plan B, which I think a lot of us felt maybe Dimmer didn't have so much of. He was very, this is going to work. We're just going to keep persisting. It'll change. And a lot of the times it did. There was many years in a row that worked. But as the game evolved, and this is not a pot shot at Dimmer, but as the game evolved, I don't think his game plan went with it. He still wanted it to run a certain way because it had worked for so long, which makes sense if you're him. But yeah, it's good to see Uze have, yeah, some balls to throw magnets around, even though he's probably been a bit hamstrung by it. And Struggletown saying that your D's mate reckons they should have kept Uze and got rid of Goodwin. That was a very common comment I was seeing from Melbourne people when we signed him. They were gutted that they lost him. So I'm backing their judgment in of knowing the work he did in the box. So that puts me at ease a little bit.
Well, we weren't happy about Leuven. We knew we'd lost a good one in Fly, didn't we?
100%.
Yeah, and Kingsley.
Yeah, so, you know, swings and roundabouts.
So, Aaron, to answer that one, do the VFL boys train with the AFL boys? Someone may be able to fully correct me if I'm wrong, but the AFL-listed players will all train together. I'm not sure if the VFL-specific or top-up players train with the AFL main group. I think they do their sessions at night because a lot of those players, they actually work during the day, so whether they're chippies or carpenters or whatever it might be, and they come play some VFL football on the weekend. So I don't think those top-up guys would train with the AFL lads, but the AFL listed players run around with the main group on a weekly basis. All right, so, or hamstring by, yeah, very good, Jim, very good. I know, sorry, I shouldn't have said hamstring. I know, I've probably just jinxed it. Speaking of injuries, now we are going to get into this preview of the St Kilda game, but before we do that, just within relation to this week, I've got a hat and we've actually got some names in here for some people who can maybe fill in at the forward line position this week. So we might need a bit of a rotating roster. So if Nathan Schmann could be available for this round, who else we've got in here? Brettie Manders, if he can be available for the following rounds. Like, we're honestly getting to that stage where we've got to draw names out of a hat to be able to find people to fill spots. It's getting absolutely crazy. But the Saints coming off a narrow loss to Essendon, It's going to be a tough game. It was already going to be a tough game because, for whatever reason, St Kilda notoriously match up well on us. And I know that there's a bit of a Ross Lyon effect here too, that we don't go well against Ross Lyon coach side, stemming back many, many years. So we'll start off with the changes.
RFC centre, too far.
Well, yeah, is Tyrone Vickery available? Is Groupie getting a run? Oh, Jacob Bauer, just quickly on Jacob Bauer. I don't think it's injury. I think there's some other reason, like personal reasons, why he hasn't been available. But I think we'd leave it at that. And I suppose when the timing's right, he'll be back in because I think he will walk straight back into the AFL side at this rate. Hopefully, he gets a good
game. And secondly, for those who are thinking Cumberland copped a decent, pretty big corky early in the Rezzy's game. Which hindered him quite a lot on the weekend. And I think he only racked up about 6 touches. So if I'm not sure the other two blokes, but he's certainly not in my ins based on the fact that he copped a knock as well. And he may be a little bit sore, to be honest.
Yeah, I tagged Richo and Jack Rewald on Twitter and maybe hinted at them putting the boots on for a John Farnham-esque type last tour to help get us through for this next month. But with Lynch, Bolter and Baker at this stage will leave as an out pending appeal, obviously. But with them as the definite outs, EJ, who's coming in? So the names I've got question marks next to, I had question marks next to Dusty, Graham, Grimes, Naismith, Cozzy, Ryan, and McAuliffe. But I really don't know the answers.
Look, I really want to see McAuliffe come in this week.
He put in another good performance, didn't he, in the VFL?
Yeah. And I was a bit surprised that Sonzi played last week. And I'm thinking, surely they're not saving the McAuliffe debut for when he's over in Adelaide for Gather Round, because that's where he's from. That's my little tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. So we've looked at, we've lost Lynch and Bolter. So we've lost two talls. So you'd think that we're going to bring in two talls. You've got three talls sitting back there. You've got Naismith, Ryan, and Cozzy. Cozzy hasn't been setting the world on fire, really, has he? Even in the twos. So I'd probably lean to the crayfish and Ryan. And look, is Dusty okay? If Dusty's okay, Uzay said he's broken the cycle and he trained pain-free over the weekend. If that's the case, well, he's the logical third replacement.
If there's any element of doubt about his calf issue, for God's sake, don't play him. We can't afford another senior player to break down for an extended period of time.
Okay, here's a question. So, JWBH01, no to all of them, right? The issue with that is we can't go in like we're extras from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, a bunch of midgets. We need some tall timber. Someone has to come in. You know, we're just going to have to make the most of a bad situation.
Nah, mate, we'll just drop Ned Curvis and ruck with Marlon. You know?
Well, what do you reckon? What do you reckon?
You go, CB.
So, Dustin Martin's an automatic in. We all agree on that, yeah? Tick that box.
Yep. Okay. Well, assuming there's no calf issue, 100%. Yep.
Yeah. So, I would say Dusty in for Baker. Tick. I will go the other way. So, Essendon towed up Marshall going two rucks against him. And Sam, so the crayfish in Naismith, 19 disposals, two goals, 17 hitouts. He's actually the guy I would bring in to cover it full forward and back up ruck. So, Samson Ryan to me isn't quite ready for it yet. So the question I've got, Dusty Naismith in. As far as the third in that comes, I'm spewing, I wish Cumbo was playing okay. Whether LaFau steps up and they bring in another on ball, I'm not sure, but I think depending on the weather, if the weather's a bit ordinary in Adelaide as well, and traditionally I don't think St Kilda's got an overly big-sized back line either. So you probably could afford to bring in a more medium-sized forward as well, which could be an option. So pace around the ball, more rotation. So the only two definites that I've really got in my head are Naismith and Martin. And I guess maybe it is McAuliffe. Maybe he's the third one that comes in. So that's probably more the way I'm thinking at the moment, to be honest.
Because I tend to agree.
If you bring in Naismith and Ryan, we're too slow. We're too lumbersome, too slow up full. So
I think so too. And even though Samson Ryan had a reasonable game on the weekend, I think he got three goals. I'm a fan of working over Rowan Marshall as well and getting Naismith in. Looking at the St Kilda backline, this is from last week's lineup, so obviously subject to change. But Josh Battle, who's, I would say, medium. He's big, but he's not, you know, key position tall big.
He's 193, 195 centimetres.
He's your broad type.
Yeah. Zane Cordy, Callum Wilkie, Liam Stocker, Jack Sinclair, and Wanganeen Malira, who's obviously not key position. So maybe we're not going to be as impacted, and maybe a Naismith LaFau hybrid forward line could work. And I don't even care if they don't. We don't need to take 20 marks inside 50 to win. We just need them to bring it to ground. Not even against kicking absolute scrubbers inside 50 to make sure they don't intercept market. Like whatever we have to do. So I think on that basis, and if Dusty's playing deep as well, and to be isolated. I'm actually all for, yeah, a Naismith, Dusty, and McAuliffe. I think I don't think we can hold back McAuliffe any longer. I know he's only very new to the club, but he's put in back-to-back very, very good efforts at VFL level. And if the Baker outstands, then I think it's time to see him. Although if Jack Graham's available, I'm not sure how that throws something into the mix as well. I mean, does Graham get the nod ahead of McAuliffe? Maybe, based on exposed form, maybe not. Maybe that they go with the guys in form.
Does Graham come in and one of the blokes, like, who was our sub on the weekend?
Banks.
Does Banks go out for Graham?
Yeah, possibly. And Phil, this is a good point too. Naismith is stronger than Ryan. And that's my biggest issue with Ryan at the moment is he was pushed off the ball by Maynard in the practice game. So he's getting shifted quite easily, whereas Naismith is a bit of a brute. Like, he and Nank, in my view, are both hard asses when it comes to tackling. They will crunch people, and he is not afraid to lay a big tackle as well. And I think that's a good thing to have.
Julian Powell just did the dimensions of the Norwood Oval. His comments just flipped up. So my question to Julian, Julian, how is that compared, those dimensions compared to the MCG? Are the wings a bit tighter, or how does that work? That's what I couldn't. That's what I don't know with that post.
And if Norwood is smaller, then yeah, it should help. And I agree, Jane Drayson, give Graham some match fitness as well, because we don't want it. We don't need any more injuries. So Norwood very skinny from Julian.
31 meters skinnier than the MCG. That's insane. A
substantial difference, isn't it? It's actually quite a large variation.
And thank you for that too. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's great. That's good to hear because. You know, obviously we don't play it in Norwood very often.
So it's going to be a contested game because you're not going to be able to. There's not going to be the space to swing the ball, you know, to switch and stuff like that. It's going to be very clogged up.
So that even further makes me think that only Naismith or Ryan. Don't bring in both.
Yeah, I agree. Just look at how much better we moved the ball as a team on the weekend, not having that extra tool. It made such a difference. And I agree, Sibby. I think that Naismith can play as a second forward, you know, for the sake of a month or so. I think it can work.
Andrew Adams saying Windhager's out.
Yeah, he did say that. I did see that. What's he out for? What happened? Did he get injured or something?
If someone could give the information on that, that'd be great. He's really stepped up this year.
Yeah.
Good kid.
So where's the game won and lost? I know notoriously we're going to say in the midfield, and Rowan Marshall for them is a massive, massive part of winning or losing. So our younger midfield brigade's got a bit of work to do. And I think we need Bolton to stay in the midfield. Like, if Dusty comes in, I think we do need to leave Dusty forward more and have Bolton do his thing in the midfield. He's more beneficial there.
Yeah.
It's gonna come down. Can we stop Rowan Marshall? If you can stop him or negate him, he gives him so much drive because he's a bloody good footballer. And again, is King suspended or is he back this week?
He's back.
So mate, King's he back. Plays like Wayne Hager every time he sees a Richmond jumper. We gotta stop him as well.
Well, hopefully the narrower ground and the more clogged up it is means that there won't be the open service and the leading lanes, so that it's going to be more dropped on his head. Therefore, you'd think that gives us time to set up. So
you would think that Miller has to take King and Young takes Membry. That makes sense to me as matchups.
Yeah.
No, I think that's fair enough. And the other reason why I think having this fleet-footed younger brigade in helps is they've probably got more work rate and more legs to get back defensively to stop that easy transition going forward where, you know, King might have an easy ball coming inside 50. If we're able to get numbers back and the wingers get back, I just think it works so much better to be able to not, you know, not let teams have their way with us.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, the pressure from last week, EJ, obviously was a huge highlight for us. The million-dollar question is, can we replicate that same kind of pressure for another game?
Well, we have to. If we want to be in the contest, we have to, because you know, they've got very damaging run from half back, obviously, with what's his name, Mullet Head? The mullet bloke. Sinclair.
Sinclair, okay.
Yeah. Thanks for helping me out, fellas. just leave me hanging. Sinclair and Wanganeen Miller, they've got some amazing drive. So if we can put that frontal pressure on and stop the flow of the drive from half back, that'll have a massive impact on the game. So yeah, we have to bring the pressure.
I think the Saints like that in tight handball game. They like to flick it around a lot too, don't they?
Yeah.
So if you can close the space on them, we could get a lot of turnover on that as well.
They really chain through the middle a lot like that.
What about Jack Higgins? Are we going to see any love lost for Higgo on the weekend? I always find that whole interaction fascinating to watch.
That's the only reason it's a pity that Grimes won't be playing.
yeah, true.
And Jack gives him a sprain on me as well.
All right. Well, I mean, based on all these happenings and the outs and things like that, I'm kind of still fairly buoyed that we're a chance for this. I know, you know, as long as you turn up, you're a chance anyway. But it's going to be interesting to see how much confidence we take out of the win against Sydney and how much energy it maybe took out of us, or maybe it's reinvigorated us. Who knows? But selection's going to be very, very interesting. So with that said, let's get a tip, including margins, from you two gentlemen. And anyone else in chat, send through your tips. We'll pop them up. CB, what's the tip, including margin?
I just want to say, to be honest, with all the injuries and things we've got, I just want to see a competitive effort. So to me, it's kind of irrelevant at the moment. I just want to see the kids keep improving, keep getting game time. This is a long-term investment now. The rebuild's on. So either way, we win, fantastic. If we lose, we've got great draft picks. We don't lose either way. So go Tigers.
Yeah, Saints by 26. We're blowing out a little bit late, but I just, same as CB, I just want to see a competitive effort. We've been really good for most of every game this year. There's only been a couple of patches where we've been down. As long as we keep this effort up every week, it's going to be a fun year. So,
if we can bring that same pressure for a quarter and a bit, it could be enough to get a nice lead. And the ground dimensions make things very interesting. I actually think it's playing into our favour a little bit. So I'm probably going to, I might actually tip the Tigers by 8 points. I don't know. I was just really, really buoyed by what I saw against the Swans. It was completely unexpected. And I just hope they've got a bit of a taste for it. The only way I can see it backfiring is if we bring in, this is not disparaging to these players, but if we bring in like Grimes or some older players who might slow things down again from a speed perspective, we need to keep that fleet-footedness about us. I just want to see players like Mansell and Morris Rioli back it up with another really good game, because, you know, they were super on the weekend, and I'm really hoping that they now get a bit more of a sense of belonging. They can kick on with it. And hopefully we can get Bloody Baker off as well. That'd be good too.
But also, the Saints are a massive downhill skiing team. If they get their tails up, they're really hard to stop. But if you do apply pressure to them, they normally choke a bit too.
I disagree with that. They have changed remarkably under Ross, and they've been under the cosh in a couple of games, and they have turned games around mid-game. And Ross is coaching really, really well.
You got your St Kilda streak DVD to watch on after this, mate.
Don't try and Tiger 71 me with some crap other club. I actually just am not that bad that I can't give credit where credit's due. Ross is coaching really well at the moment. Really well.
Nah, stuff him. St Farrell, stuff him.
Haven't done anything for 150 years. It'll be a big test. And look, at least we know that no one's got a home ground advantage being in Norwood Oval. So that's something to take as well. But Gather Round kicks off this week, Thursday night. Should be interesting to see what the crowds are all like over in Adelaide. It sounds like a shitload of people are going over as well. And coming up during the bye week, Peter Wilson will be joining us for part of the show, which I think our bye is round 6, I believe, from memory. Nice. So we'll have him on for 20 or 30 minutes. So I might lean on you two gentlemen for some questions and things to talk about because you may know more about him than I do. And then
you calling us old?
I'm calling you older than me, not saying old, but but older than me. Reece's T's coming back soon. Not honest answer is not too sure. It all comes down to him and how he's feeling. So the seat in the spot is always open, which, you know, we've said all along, but he's still going through his rehab and getting himself right to get his life back on track. Might seem like a really excessive thing to say, but it's been a big thing for him. Like, it's gone on for over a year. So his time and energy needs to go into him and getting himself right. But he will be back on as soon as he is physically able to, I can assure you. No trade news at the moment. Oh, Ivan, anyway, I'm not sure if you guys do, but I don't.
So let's be honest. I know you just said about Tiggs, but I just want to be really honest with the viewers right now. It's actually a pay dispute. Tiggs has got the lawyers onto us, and we received a couple of letters from solicitors. It's getting a little ugly. We've had to re-engage and get legal representation, and Tiggs has always been about the money. That's the honest answer, right?
And Grok did fail a second sample test before tonight's show, so we had to tell him that he was a laid out just to save face.
Grok's out with hamstring awareness.
Anyway, thank you, Jess, for jumping on tonight. Much appreciated. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We've got over 500 live viewers at the moment, so sensational effort once again. Please make sure that you follow us on Twitter, Facebook. Give us a subscribe on YouTube. We're trying to get towards 1,000 this year. I think we're on 813 roughly. Make sure you get around us. Always happy to engage on all the socials. And thank you so much for everyone's time tonight and asking all your questions. And hopefully we can get a nice win this week against St Kilda and climb up the ladder a little bit further. So until Monday night, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Go those Tiger Cubs. Do it again.